Hey, I get the opportunity to introduce you again, John. Did it last year? Maybe this is going to be routine. John Peter is the Deputy CIO and former Enterprise Architect, Chief Enterprise Architect at the department. His role is he's responsible for the management of the enterprise projects at the department, including enterprise security, information technology project management, capital planning, as well as enterprise architect. John has 27 years of service. He's worked at the Social Security Administration. He's worked with the CMS as well as CDC. John comes with a vast background in IT and management. And without further ado, go for it, John.
Okay, so those of you that know me know that I'm pretty much an upfront kind of guy. I'm going to lay it out there, and I'm going to expect you to do the same. So, excuse me, I have to apologize. I'm having a little bit of trouble with my allergies. So, the end of the day today, we're going to have a question and answer session. And I think it's entitled, Ask Whatever You Want, right? and so I'll be happy to give you the straight up answers to that. But it sounds to me, from hearing everything that's going on here, that CDC's got a good story to tell, and you guys might have some of the answers that others might want. So I've known for a long time, since I came from CDC, before I went to the department about 7 years ago, that CDC has a unified process that basically is the foundation upon which the EPLC at the department level was built. I said this last year, but I can't emphasize it enough. You guys broke ground on this, so you should be applauded for that. But what is the EPLC, and what is the unified process? So we talked about having the project manager being the communicator and the coordinator, the collaborator. But the EPLC is basically a mechanism for bringing together all the best practices that have been known to exist and have been used for great success across the IT project management community. So strategic planning, you have to talk about the business need for what you're trying to engage. You know, how does it support your strategic direction? And then you've got enterprise architecture. So how does it fit in with your overall architectural plan? And then IT investment reviews. What are the alternatives and that provide the best value? And then project execution and performance management, et cetera, et cetera. So the EPLC just brings all of that together and it puts it in your hands. And it says, basically, go forth and do great things. And so if you follow all of the process that you have in place, and you coordinate and communicate effectively across all of those best practices, then you've got a greater chance of success. You just heard that 75% of our projects have a problem. And actually, that's improved over the last 10 years. So you know, we got some work ahead of us. But the good story is it is improving. And so at the department level, we can see that it is improving. So let me just go into this, I think. Okay. So we talked about the EPLC objectives, and we want to change the project management culture to be more proactive and transparent. That's what I just talked about. You know, be proactive, engage with people, do the right things, and do it in a structured way that allows us to repeat successes. Because 75% success rate for project management is not really good enough. I think you'll all agree with that. Now, one thing that I've been talking to OMB about is this conflict, and that's the word I use when I talk with them, between investments and projects. So what I tell them is, we report at the investment level because you tell us to, because you ask us to do that. But we manage at the project level. And that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where the EPLC is applied. I'm not sure that last year I made that very clear. And so that is where the rubber meets the road. And so, you know, if we have to roll this up for reporting purposes at an investment level, then so be it. But the real benefit of applying the EPLC happens at the project level. And so you all are very aware of that. And so, you know, you should feel comforted in knowing that we're saying that to OMB. And we talked about the IT dashboard, Sandra did, and the IT dashboard reflects performance, or tries to reflect performance, at the investment level. Now, we are trying to work with OMB to change that so that we can have some kind of a project level perspective so that things that we actually do to manage at the operational level get rolled up and get reflected in there, so in that dashboard. And so there's a whole bunch of things that are probably going to be coming out about modifications to the IT dashboard as we work with them. I actually was the co-chair of a federal-wide group that took a look at some of the opportunities for us to make that IT dashboard a little bit better. And so we've presented our results to OMB, and as always, you know, we'll see whether they accept our counsel and our wise recommendations. So we want to change the project management culture, and you all are already on the way to doing that. We want to increase the ability to move projects to production more quickly. Now, you know, I do agree that quicker sometimes is not better. But I think the better phrase here might be agile, flexible, and that's what the EPLC offers. You can tailor the EPLC to do the most important things. So that if you're faced with some kind of a crunch, or there's an absolute priority that has to be addressed, you can tailor the EPLC to get there. And so, you know, clearly in the area of emergency response activities, you know, we may have to tailor our approach so that we can provide the services to the citizens that they deserve. And so, you know, that's one of those opportunities to tailor things. But that doesn't mean you throw it out the window. That means that you do just that. You tailor it, and then you move on, and then you, if necessary, you come back and you recapture some of the intelligence and some of the lessons learned. That's why it's a constant learning process, a constant evolution. We need to do this in a repetitive way and in a cyclical way, because you're going to learn things as you use the EPLC that'll make it better. We need to reduce project risk by improving project planning and performance. I think that's what it's all about. And then we need to apply it consistently and repeatably, I said previously on across that. Some of the HHS successes, and believe me, at the department, we recognize that the success of the EPLC happens here. You guys are the ones that are dealing with the operational realities. You guys are the ones that are doing the bulk of the work in making this successful. And so we do understand that. There are things happening at the department, notwithstanding what others might think, but we understand that operations occur here. The touch points with the citizens occur here. But what we've done at the department, we've continued to expand the optic collaboration through the EPLC work group. CDC has been a big part of that, as I mentioned, with offering up their unified process. Released updates to the EPLC framework, the artifacts, and guidance for the processes. But the reality is that we operate in the Department of Health and Human Services in a federated environment. So the department can provide, you know, models, guidelines, you know, different types of templates, but it has to be implemented in a way that makes sense down in the operating divisions, so that it's meaningful to you all. We completed the initial implementation at all the Optives. Some have done better than others. CDC is obviously a glowing example of an organization that has done it better. We trained more than 200 project managers. So, yeah, and that's another role. You heard Sandra say that we have trained enterprise architects. We have trained project managers. CDC is doing training in that area, but the department is trying to sponsor opportunities where we can pay for certain training and offer opportunities there too. And I really think that's part of our role is to try and offer those opportunities to wherever we can. And so, you know, we listen to you guys, and whenever you come to us and say, you know, well, it would be great if we had a department-wide class in this or a department-wide class in that. So we do listen. And so we try and offer those wherever, you know, we can and wherever our budgets will allow. And then the benefits of the EPLC are expressed by the stakeholders. And I think that's one of the most important things. You heard the comment that what we're all about is delivering what the customer or the user or the stakeholder needs. And I specifically say needs because wants and needs are probably not the same. That's like the difference between preferences and requirements. You know, everybody has their preferences, but what's a real requirement that you have to meet? And sometimes, you know, we need to use the process to drill down into what do we actually have to deliver? And I think that's going to be more important as we move forward in flattening budgets and the opportunities for us to collaborate on certain things are going to be, you know, more obvious, more prevalent, and I think more necessary. So that's where, you know, this blending of all of these best practices so that we can look across, you know, a lot of the organizational activities that are going on, maybe through the architecture or the capital planning program, to see where there are opportunities for us to collaborate and maximize budget are going to be important. So one of the challenges, engaging critical partners. You know, you've got your acquisition folks, you got your enterprise architecture folks, your security folks, and your capital planning folks that are coordinating all of this. And they all have jobs. They were all fully employed before we ever came up with the EPLC. But what we need to do is we need to shift the way that they do those jobs. And so it's not that EPLC is an additional requirement. EPLC is the way we operate. And so these folks that are doing security, what's their jobs? Their jobs are to ensure that we minimize risk and maximize value in doing so. And where does the value become realized? It becomes realized at the operational level where the EPLC lives. So they need to modify their activities so that they view EPLC as a way to get their job done, not as an extra thing to be done. Same thing with enterprise architecture. As these things come forward, you know, this needs to be a part of the process. This is an input. The EPLC provides input. It provides communication channels into these various processes. It all fits together. If we do EPLC correctly, then all of these other programs will be able to do their jobs in a consistent, repeatable way because now we're all working together. But having said that, there are resource constraints that are felt. And so as we're going through this transition where they are all shifting the way they do their work in these other areas of critical partner review, then you know, there's going to be that conflict. So that's one of the challenges. And conducting sustainable and supportable stage gate reviews. Sometimes it's not good enough to just say we're doing a review. We need to have it be done in such a way that it demonstrates that we've considered all the right things and that we've made the right decision. I mean, and ultimately that's what this is all about anyway, is bringing the right people to the table to make the right decision and provide the ultimate and optimized value for your customer or your stakeholder. And then the biggest thing is containing success. Now, what do I mean? That means that as you do this better, everybody's going to be coming to you saying, help us do this. Because now they realize that, you know, people are getting value out of this. They're getting successes. They're now able to produce repeatably successful projects. And so now they're going to be coming to the table saying, help me, help, help me. And we all have dwindling resources. That's why we have to bake this into our other processes. And we need to evaluate how we're doing that. And so, you know, that's where you all need to help the other folks as well. Critical partner reviews at the department. We engage up to the deputy assistant secretary levels for a lot of our enterprise reviews at the critical partner level. Now, I'm not telling you that the deputy assistant secretaries for acquisitions in any other area sit in on each and every review, but they're there. They know what's going on. And they're starting to come to the table and they're starting to make it a priority for their people to be involved in these things even when they can't. So you see all the critical partner areas here that we have up at the department for reviewing enterprise capabilities. We had to go out and we had to train the critical partners a little bit so that they understood what the EPLC was trying to accomplish, because, you know, in their mind, you know, like they're doing acquisitions, they're doing budget, they're doing this, they're doing that, and they've had processes in place for doing those things that they view as being fairly effective. But applying that and modifying that to actually engage at the project level is a little bit foreign to them. So we had to, you know, kind of get everybody on the same page, and so we've done that, and we've trained the subject matter experts in each one of their areas accordingly, and we've developed a structured quality and critical partner review process. One thing that we've done is within our Office of the Chief Information Officer, our capital planning staff has. They own this. They own the EPLC, and rightly so. But what they have to do is they have to do quality reviews of the information that is being provided by the project managers before it goes to the critical partners. That way, you know, the critical partners can be more efficient, more effective, and they don't have to spend as much time. So up at the department, the capital planning folks basically give their recommendations or give their blessing to the projects as they come forward for review. And so, you know, you have a certain level of quality there. And then the critical partners provide the recommendations, and we actually go through a critical partner session for each one of these. And so that's important, I think, to bring everybody together so that they know, you know, how the other critical partners are thinking periodically, because it all has to gel. And so one of the areas that we end up with, or one of the outcomes that we end up with, is a recommendation from these people to either approve with conditions or discontinue. And let me tell you what, you recommend to discontinue something, now you're into the holy wars, because everybody views their project as sacrosanct. And there are some things that have been going on for 20, 30 years, you know, and maybe the original intent was great, but maybe there's a better way to accomplish that now. And so, you know, reallocating those scarce resources in tight budget environments is going to be very important. And so let's just make a pact. Let's just be honest with each other about, you know, what the value of something is. Because I'll tell you, you know, most program owners, most business owners, most stakeholders, and even IT project managers, the very first time they get resources to do a project, their very next effort is next year's budget. What am I need 10% more. You know, and so we need to just be honest with each other. Do we really need 10% more? Maybe we need 20%. Maybe we don't need any more. Maybe we need to provide something and then reduce the amount so it can be used more effectively elsewhere. That's the whole concept of portfolio management, enterprise architecture, so we assign value through it, this structured process. And then we provide action items to the project managers as the projects progress to the next phases of the EPLC. Now, that's a key point. We don't just stop everybody in their tracks, you know, if they haven't satisfied every single, you know, requirement that EPLC has documented. What we do say, though, is as you go forward, you need to remediate these things. So it allows them to move forward, but it allows us to get the success and minimize the risk as they do so. Because we're being honest with each other, we're being open, and we're communicating with them as they communicate with us. Our IT Investment Review Board is very involved in this. Every month, we give them a report of the status of all of our projects, our enterprise level, our major projects across HHS. So they know who's performing and who's not, what the issues are. We even break it out. So if somebody has an issue in the security area, we tell them, you know, this needs to be resolved before the next meeting. And so and typically that gets to the chief information officer. So in CDC's case, you know, if there's something that hasn't been satisfied, then he hears about that at the IT IRB. And so, you know, it would be best if he didn't hear about it at the IT IRB is what my point is. You know, he would probably appreciate that. But what this does is as we come through with these recommendations, it reduces the information required for your IT IRB to make a decision, because they know that the best and the brightest across CDC has looked at these and made their recommendations, and so they will develop a comfort level as these critical partner reviews are engaged, and so you'll be informing their thinking. And it improves our ITIRB, it improves their ability to consider business issues and strategic value of IT projects rather than drilling down into the each detailed area of critical partner review. So far we're just like you all, we're in the process of implementing this department-wide, and I will tell you that of all the challenges I had down at CDC when I was here, it's nothing compared to herding the cats at the department. Because up at the department, everybody believes that every staff division, you know, within the Office of the Secretary, let's say, they view their mission as the most important. And at that level, every staff division is an assistant secretary that reports to the secretary. And so it's difficult to have the conversation with the assistant secretary for whatever that says, we think you should pause and go back and consider this, because they view themselves as sitting at the right hand of the secretary, and so we have some work to do there. And I'm sure that you guys have the same challenges. You know, your center directors are sitting there saying, you know, no, I know what I'm doing, and I appreciate it, but no thanks. And so I'm sure that happens sometimes. And so we're now starting to engage in this. We've got four major projects that we've really put some focused attention on. Three of them have been where the reviews have been conducted. All the projects were approved with conditions. And so we had to go to those assistant secretaries and say, you need to fix these things. So, you know, believe me, we know what you're going through. So, you know, if there's any way that we can support what you're doing down here as you go up through channels, then please let us know, because you know, that's part of the role of the department. You know, Sandra knows that she can pick up the phone and call me anytime. And you'll see a bunch of contacts at the end here, too. We got another one that's planned. But the demand for technical assistance out of the Office of the Chief Information Officer and so is increasing. It's containing success. You know, that's the real issue. So we have a demand for extending reviews to other projects, and there's a limited OCIF staff resource, limited quality review staff, limited critical partner. We all mentioned all of these things in prior comments and in mine. And so these are the people that at the department we should thank for the EPLC. Jeff Lovern. Jeff Lovern is our HHS Capital Planning Officer, and he has actually been very instrumental in pulling all this together. Obviously, with the help of all of the operating divisions across HHS, because we don't do anything of any value until we have the opinions of the people that actually operate at the base level. We've got a couple of co-chairs here. I will tell you that Jane Small has been on detail to co-chair this working group from NIH now for probably close to 3 years. And she has just been an undying advocate of moving this forward. So I really think she deserves a shout out here. I will tell you also, Jeff Lovern is just about to receive the Government Capital Planning Leadership Award at one of the upcoming conferences. I think Sandra's speaking there on IT governance, how IT governance enhances project management success. I think that's something close to the title. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that are very instrumental in pushing this out across not only HHS, but out across the federal space. And I mentioned that the work group that I co-chaired, it brought forward all of the HHS opinions into the OMB perspectives and the federal-wide perspectives. So now we're starting to get some change in the way they think. So, you know, we'll continue to do this. You know, we'll continue to take the good work and the good thoughts that come out of CDC and the broader HHS. We'll take that forward to OMB and try and apply it across the federal government. But I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, we need to be better than 75% success. And I don't think anybody will argue with that. Anybody that fails three quarters of the time, you know, I don't care whether it's business or sports. You know, you're not doing well. So anyway, I thank you. I appreciate your patience, and thanks for having me.